The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So, we just had our transfer of merit ceremony, so I thought I'd talk about making our offering. Because in the transfer of merit ceremony, of course, we've made this massive offering of merit for beings. Whether we know them or not, we do this huge offering of merit. We offer scriptures, incense, you know, and so forth, music. And all our ceremonies are actually offerings to everybody. Sometimes we do bows and so forth. And we always have the offertory at the end, which is when we offer the merit for the benefit of beings. To make an offering is to open the heart. We're all connected deeply. And when you make an offering, we're affirming that connection. We're offering something to somebody else, some other being, many beings. Whether we know them or not, we are just opening something up to beings. And to offer something helps us to break down our selfishness, our grasping, keep it for myself. And the Buddha often talked about offering things. He said, you know, it's like the first thing you do, the first virtue you practice as a Buddhist is to make offerings to help break down our self-absorption. And in fact, we make offerings all the time. We're constantly making offerings, though we don't always think of it this way. You prepare a meal for people. You're making an offering, you know, for whoever it is. Even if it's just for yourself, you're making an offering to yourself. Because to make offerings to ourselves as well is also important. We're not just giving to other beings, but also giving to ourselves, because we are beings too. And that's an important aspect. It's not just always giving to other beings. Going to work, you know, we might get paid, but we're still giving our time and our effort. And those are priceless, actually. It's our life. In a sense, really, nothing can repay that effort and time that we put into something. And if people work for us, it's the same for them. They're giving us something that actually is priceless. And for us to remember that, if somebody does something for us, even if it's for money, it's still a priceless gift. They're making an offering. Even if they don't think of it that way, we think of it as a bargain, actually it's an offering. Taking care of our family, our friends, our animals, we just do this. It's constantly offering to the beings we love, that we take care of, continually giving to them. Just our daily interactions with people, our conversation with people, talking to friends, spending time with people. We're offering our presence, our attention, our time, our care, all the time. Even just meeting somebody in a store or whatever, somebody you've never met, exchanging a kind word, is an offering. You know? And the true offering is one that we make with no expectation, without any expectation of gratitude or of repayment or even of recognition, not even expecting that somebody says, oh, that was nice, you know, we just do it. That's the best kind of offering, with no strings attached. We just make the offering, just give it. Anyone can make an offering. We can all make offerings. Never think we've got nothing to give. Someone told me yesterday this lovely story about when they were in India, and there was a bunch of them, professors and geographers and people, and they were waiting for a bus or something, or waiting for someone to come pick them up. And suddenly the heavens opened, and it began to rain really hard. And they happened to be standing right next to a kind of a big piece of culvert, sitting by the side of the road, waiting to be put into the road. And there was a family living in this culvert, a great big thing. And one of them felt this little tug on their sleeve. Here was a family inviting them to come inside and share their culvert to keep out of the rain. And that's a really beautiful story. Even when you think you've got nothing to give, you can give something. This poor Indian family, which had no home except this culvert, they offered that. A noble offering. To be able to make an offering ennobles the giver because they have something to give. It gives them dignity. Everybody already has dignity, but it makes them kind of step, they can step into that. They have something they can give. And everybody has something they can give. People who work with homeless and poor people constantly have stories about somebody being really generous with their almost nothing. They share that too. Not because they want to be dignified, but because they know what it's like not to have. They know what it's like to be hungry or in worse straits than they are. They know the connection with beings because they're dependent on everybody, as we are too. We just don't always realize it. We are all constantly dependent on each other. We all rely completely on the offerings made by other beings. They grow food for us, they sell food to us, they employ us, they build our houses for us. If we were on our own, all in the world, alone in the world, we wouldn't get very far. We're all dependent constantly on the offerings of other beings. Whether we see it that way or not, that's the way it is. All of us constantly offer to each other, interacting in that way, continually. To be willing to accept the offering is itself a gift. To be willing to step into the culvert out of the rain and say, thank you. Not to reject something because it's not what we want. Not to brush it off because we don't even notice the offering. Oh, I could do that. Oh, it's fine, I'm fine, you know. But to appreciate it, to accept it when we can. Not to be afraid of putting ourselves in debt to another person. Because often we don't want to do that. Oh, I don't want to accept something from this person because I don't know who they are, I don't trust them, I don't know them, or maybe I don't like them, you know. But to actually be willing to accept an offering is itself giving something. It's an entrustment of ourselves to that person, recognizing the connection. Just to accept it with gratitude as it is. Because giving can't be all one way, you know. I have something and you don't, so I'm going to give to you. But you don't have anything, so you can't give me back. It has to go both ways. Otherwise you're kind of impoverishing the other person. You're not letting them give their gift. You're saying they don't have something. It has to go both ways. We also need offerings. We also need to step out of the rain. I like that story because rain falls on everyone. You know, the rich and poor alike. All of us are subject to the vicissitudes of life. The rain, the sun, birthing, birth, old age, sickness, and death. We're all subject to all of these things. And just stepping out of the rain just kind of encapsulates that. Don't try to force our offering on somebody. You know, you need this, and I'm going to give it to you. We've all had this happen from parents and things, you know. You need this. My mother used to do that. I shouldn't say this, but, you know, offer me something really, that she thought was a really nice dress, and it wouldn't actually be what I'd really like. She said, well, it's a gift, so I'd have to, you know. To offer something, but to not compel it, to... You're not to say, I know what's best for you, I know what you need. And yet, when somebody does do that, to be grateful, because they're actually doing their best. They think they know what we need, they're making an offering, okay, thank you. Not to say, you know, I want it my way, but thank you. And when we make the offering, not to try to push it down someone's throat. Last week you were talking about Kishtigarbha, holding out the jewel of the Dharma. He's not thrusting it on us. He's holding it. We can come and take it. He's not trying to force us. And that's what it's like. No expectation. The offer with an open hand, not pushing it on somebody. Now there's many kinds of offering that we can make and that we can cultivate. Material goods, giving money, food, you know, clothing, shelter. Material benefits, the evident one. Our time and our concern, spending time talking to somebody, really listening to them, you know, when we really give somebody our attention and actually listen to what they have to say, we're making an offering. Even being willing to learn from them, you know, we can learn a lot. Learning from somebody is actually offering something. I don't necessarily know everything. Thank you. And of course, on from the other side, the person talking to us or teaching us something is making an offering to us. It goes both ways. Spending time to make sure somebody is all right, that they're not in trouble, you know, just to take that little moment. Is this person okay? Are you all right? You know, not just rushing by, you know, charging off in our life, looking neither to right nor left, looking to see, are you all right? You know. Patience. Patience is a great offering. To be patient with someone who's taking a long time about something when you want to get on with things, or somebody who annoys us. You know, just taking that time to be patient, not to rush at something. We all know what it's like when we haven't done that. We've kind of rushed through something and then we look back and think, oh, I wish I'd taken a bit more time with that person. Or I wish I hadn't just kind of cut them off, you know. That sort of little feeling of regret when we haven't done that, when we haven't taken time, been patient. There's always different ways of making an offering. A zillion. You can find your own zillion, all of us. All these different things we can do. A talent or a skill we might have that we can offer to somebody. It's nice to be able to offer something that we're good at, as long as it's what they want or need. But it's nice to be able to do that, to be able to cook a really nice meal for someone or play music for someone or whatever it might be. It's a gift. The gift of the Dharma, whether we're a teacher formally teaching or just doing our training, which is what most of our gift of the Dharma is, that we do our training, that we just try to do our best to meditate, keep to the precepts. We're offering the Dharma, not deliberately saying that I'm making this great offering of my example. We're just doing our best without thinking about it. No strings attached, not considering I'm making this great gift of myself. You know, we're just doing our training, doing our best, day by day, moment by moment. That's our best gift. Sometimes we have wise words for somebody. Sometimes we just offer sympathy and kindness. Sometimes just being with them, you know. Nothing to say, just being with them. The gift of our training, of ourself. Offering our faith, our confidence. This is a huge gift, our confidence in the Dharma, that it sustains us, that it does help us, that to meditate, keep to the precepts, do our best, will help us no matter what things look like. Just stepping forward into the unknown in faith, not worrying too much about where's my advantage here, but just this needs to be done to practice kindness for this person. Not to be worrying about what am I going to get, or am I going to lose something, or I need to get on with something else. offering our faith in practice of the Dharma. The gift of fearlessness doesn't mean we're not afraid. It's sitting still in the midst of all conditions. No matter what is happening, to just sit still. Not going into a panic, accepting what's happening, practicing faith that all shall be well, that all fundamentally is well. Even when we're really afraid, we have no idea how things are going to turn out, what's going to happen, maybe we're worried about money or about losing our house or whatever it might be, but to sit still with a bright heart and just hold out our faith and our practice of fearlessness is a great gift. As I said, it doesn't mean we're not afraid, but that we practice going beyond the fear. That's the fearlessness. To go beyond our fear, not let it immobilize us, but to keep going, no matter what, to keep practicing that confidence, bright heart, faith in that which is greater than us. These are some of the ways you can make offerings. We can always make offerings. And as I said, to make an offering benefits us at least as much as the person who receives it. There's a joy in making an offering, being able to give something, whether it's deliberate or just happens naturally. And there are times when it's really good to make an offering. When we're grumpy and miserable, it's a really good time to make an offering. Because it helps us with that state of mind, that, you know, me, fed up. You know. Just to make an offering to somebody, it helps us with that kind of self-involvement. And just think, oh, maybe they're grumpy and miserable, you know. Maybe it would be, it might cheer them up a bit, or just a kind word. And a kind word for ourselves too, we're grumpy and miserable. Just a little kindness to ourselves. Not to judge ourselves because we're grumpy and miserable. Everybody gets grumpy and miserable sometimes. But just, okay, I don't feel so good today. Just not to be giving ourselves a bad time about it. Making an offering to ourselves. When we're afraid, you know, offering merit to other fearful beings. Because we know what it's like to be afraid. Not to be immobilized by fear, but to make an offering of training or offering of merit. Offering merit to those beings that may inspire fear in us. If we're afraid of somebody, to offer them merit really helps us with that fear. Because we're not kind of in this clutching little capsule of, you know, fear. We can open up, offer merit, open that shell, and it helps us with the fear. It doesn't immediately dissipate always, but sometimes it does. It's surprising how that helps us. Making that offering of merit and fearlessness, as I said, of just going on. When we're grasping at things, when you really want something, or clutching at things because you're afraid you're going to lose them, this is a very good time to make an offering, to practice generosity, because that clutching is, again, cutting ourselves off. But if you can make an offering, that's a way of practicing relinquishment, generosity, letting go of that selfish mind, just making an offering. It is, again, the practice of fearlessness, because we're not just clutching something, worrying about we're going to lose it, but we're giving something. And as I said, the people who have the least often are the most generous. They've got the least to lose the least to give, and yet they sometimes give the most because they know what it's like not to have something. When we're angry at somebody, to offer kindness and to offer merit to that person, when you're really fed up with someone, you know, really having a bad time with them, to offer them merit and kindness, whether we can actually offer kindness to them or just thinking of them with a kind thought, is really helpful with that state of mind. It helps us with that angry thought, just to think a kind thought of them. They probably aren't nearly as bad as we think they are. And to think, maybe think of some of the, you know, the good things about them, or just to offer kindness to them. When we feel really bad about ourselves, we can make an offering. It's a way of letting go of that, again, that involvement with ourself. I feel really dreadful about myself. I'm just this awful person. I feel terrible. I can make an offering. Everybody can make an offering. And to do that helps us with that, again, that kind of cut-off feeling of I'm separate from everybody else. Everybody else has something that I don't have. We can make an offering to somebody. Make an offering to ourselves to help us with that state of mind. But we want to be careful, though, there, where we make an offering because we feel dreadful about ourselves, that we don't exhaust ourselves making offerings because we feel so dreadful about ourselves. You can just, it's bottomless, you know. The feeling bad about oneself is bottomless. And the solution is not fundamentally just to make offerings. It helps. It helps us to kind of break that grip a bit. But really, the solution is different. I'll come to that in a minute. Each of us has our own gift to give. Each of us is unique. Each of us has our own way of being, our own offering, our own gift that we give. Our joy, our faith, our kindness, our quirks and strangenesses, even our faults, you know, our presence, our time. We all have our own gift to give, our own offering to make. Never think we don't have anything to offer. We all do. We are all worthy of making offerings. We all have that dignity of being able to make an offering. The Indian family, with nothing, they could still make an offering, you know. Self-judgment, as I said, feeling we're worthless or lacking something everybody else has. Everybody else has Buddha nature. I can see kindness in everybody else. I just cannot see any in myself, you know. We have kindness too. To trust that it's there. To make an offering to ourselves of kindness. Feeling we're unlovable, separate from other beings, unforgivably bad, innate badness, you know. Whatever it might be, I think all of us suffer from self-judgment. Not many of us think, well, I'm doing pretty well. I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty decent person. I don't have to do anything. If you thought that, we wouldn't be here. We all have work to do. We all have things about ourselves that we don't like so much. And sometimes we have just, if you like, just this mountain of self-judgment. To make offerings helps us to kind of work against the self-judgment. We have that worth that we can make an offering to other beings. As I said, it's not the solution, because you can get into a pattern of endlessly trying to help beings, trying to do more and more and more to make up for our innate badness, and it's bottomless, because it's not the solution. The solution is to sit still, right in the middle of that judgment. Not to be doing, doing, and doing, but to sit still and to look with kindness, with compassion. And that is our offering to ourselves. When that arises, no matter how we feel about ourselves, or about our training, or about our life, or what we've done, or what we haven't done, our mistakes, to be able and willing to sit and look with kindness and just accept it. That is our great offering to ourselves that we can make, because we all have that come up. We all have that feeling now and then that somehow we're separate, somehow we're, there's something wrong with us, you know. But to sit still with that and just look at it with kindness, a great offering. Our meditation is an offering. It's not a bargain, you know. We sit down, we give ourselves to it without expectation, without wanting something. Not saying, okay, I'll do this, then I get enlightenment, and I'll have peace of mind, and I'll have this and this. We just give ourselves to it because we want to do it, because it is what we truly wish, to give ourselves to it. There is nothing to keep, just all to give. We entrust ourselves to it. Our whole life is an offering, actually. Everything that we do is in fact an offering. Our meditation, our keeping to the precepts, our relationships with other people, our bungling mistakes when we're trying to do the right thing and we completely mess it up, you know. Our time and our energy, our faith and our confidence in the Dharma, all our aspects, everything about us, the good, the bad, and the ugly, it's all our offering. Sometimes it's not what people want. Sometimes it's not what we want. But it's still our offering of our life. We give ourselves to it. Not to be, always to be trying to get, but to give ourselves to our life. To give ourselves to the Dharma, to the Buddha. That is what we do. There's a little, lovely little bit in the scripture of Brahma's net, talks about an untold number of Buddhas who all together made offerings to Varachana Buddha of their meditation, mindfulness, diligence, and faith. Our meditation, our mindfulness, our diligence, and our faith. These are our best offerings that we make to Varachana Buddha or to Buddha nature, to ourselves, to that which sustains us, a constant offering that we make of our meditation, our mindfulness, our care and attention and presence, our diligence, our effort in what we do, and our faith, faith in the Dharma, faith in life itself, faith that all is fundamentally well. With all our mistakes, all our the light and the dark, our deluded views, our harm by mistake, our good aspects, the help we give to beings, all of that, everything about us, we keep working on ourselves and we constantly give and make this offering of our meditation, mindfulness, diligence, and faith. And that is our offering for today. Thank you.